Praise God. This afternoon was quite a challenge. I mean, I was having a perfectly good day, and then I had to take care of one itsy bitsy thing, and it just seemed like all hell broke loose. You know, usually I'm looking over my notes and things. I didn't get to do any of that, so. But I trust that you all will get something out of the lesson. We're continuing from last week. Last week we studied, you know, what did I teach last week? I'm blanking out. I know I think the importance of being in agreement. So tonight we're going to teach on benefits on praying in agreement. And for those of you who weren't here, a couple of you weren't here, I'm just going to do a quick recap. You know, we looked at the people back in the day. They decided that they didn't want to do what God told them to do, which was to, you know, occupy the earth, multiply and replenish the earth, be fruitful. I guess they were scared because of the flood and all that, and they decided, we're not going to do that. We're going to build this city right here, and we're going to build this huge tower all the way up to heaven. I guess they figured in case and now the flood came, then they can all, you know. But that didn't work. I mean, they were in complete agreement, total agreement. There was no dissension among them. And you know, it's pretty hard to get people to be in agreement completely. I don't know if I told the story about, you know, this church that I attended, and we had to get a pastor, did I? You know, and you know, we were going through pastors, different pastors were trying out every week, it was a different pastor. And so we had to choose a pastor. And, you know, we were praying for the right pastor. And I didn't know it at the time, but I mean, it was a heart-wrenching thing. You know, it's true what the Bible said, when one part of the body hurts, if you are really a part of the body, if you're really connected, you hurt. And I was hurting. I mean, I was hurting so badly. And I prayed, and I prayed fervently, and I said, Lord, please help us that when we vote on this pastor, help us to get 100%. Long story short, we got 100%. And then later on, I found out that had never happened in the history of the church. God answered prayers. Of course, I wasn't the only one, you know, that was praying that way. But it's important when believers come together, for whatever reason, that we be in agreement. If it wasn't an important thing, Satan wouldn't be working overtime to keep chaos and confusion and strife in the church. He knows the power of agreement a lot more than we, the body of believers, do. You know, and he wants to keep us, you know, in strife. He keep us bickering, arguing over, like Pastor would say, a hillbilly of beans. I mean, you know, you can tell. I've lived in the South for a while. I'm beginning to sound Southern. But important, it's important that we stay in agreement. Agreement is a weapon. It took God to scatter the people by confounding their language. And he said, you know, the people is one. And as I was studying that lesson last week, that's the part that caught my attention. The people is one. Is a verb, and it's a singular verb. It means one. There were many, yet they were one. And he said, this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them. This is God speaking. They were so tight, and they were so, you know, so in agreement that God said nothing can be restrained from them. So that should tell us that if God said that about them, what do you think he's going to say about us when we come in agreement with his word, with his plan, with his purposes? So that's a quick rundown. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and pleasant. It's a pleasant thing when, you know, brethren, brothers and sisters, and we are brothers and sisters here, aren't we? I mean, you know, we may not be blood, but we're connected even in a stronger way. The blood of Christ, don't we? When we dwell together in unity, that's powerful. Satan hates it. He hates unity. He hates harmony. He hates agreement when we come together in agreement. And so in order to, you know, to be in agreement, we must have unity. You know, the church needs to be united, totally united. We all need to come together and support our pastor, support the vision of the church, support, you know, whatever it is that he feels God is leading him to do. If the body can get together, forget all, you know, all this stuff, and just come together and work together as one, we become one, we can accomplish great and mighty things. Years ago, I used to go to this church, and I had a friend who was on the prayer team. And she was so upset. Now she wasn't the kind of person to just tell, you know, what went on in the prayer group. But she was burdened, she was so weighted down. And she complained to me that they had gathered for prayer, and the pastor came in and gave them instructions. He said, pray on these points. And she said, as soon as he left, this sister got up and she said, oh, you know, that's not where we're supposed to pray. Let's pray this way. And she convinced all the other intercessors to pray her thing. Now, you know, I am not and has never been one to tattle to any pastor. You know, they have people always running in to the pastor. I'm not like that. But I'm telling you one thing, if I was a part of that prayer group, for sure I would have told the pastor, because I thought that was so wrong. If the shepherd comes and says, we need to pray on these points, X, Y, and Z, who are you to overrule him? And do you think that group was in prayer? I mean, in unity? There was no unity there. I mean, it was a mess. Let me tell you, there were things that happened there that was just blew my mind. And, you know, anyway, God took me out of there and I'm here. And we have unity here. You know, when before COVID, when we all gathered here to pray, we prayed in unity. There was no dissension, no one saying, oh, you know, pastor don't know what he's talking. No. We came together and we prayed in unity, you know. And so that is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to, you know, get behind our pastor, get behind the vision, become one mind, and in one accord, be in total and complete unity and harmony. And when we do, we will get God's attention. He will come down. You know, and he wouldn't say, the people is one, and this they begin to do now, nothing can be restrained from them. Let me confound their language and scatter them. That's how the tower remained unbuilt, because they no longer was able to understand each other. So they just had to do what he told them to do in the first place. Spread out, you know, occupy, multiply, fill the earth. So tonight, let's look in Acts chapter 2, and this is the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. They were how? In one accord. They were all happy to be there. They were expecting something in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat on upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this was a new thing that took place. There were all kinds of people had gathered, you know, in that city for the feast. And they all spoke various languages. I don't know, maybe a Hebrew, and I don't know what all languages they had, but they heard everyone speak in their language. And these were, in their minds, unlearned men. When did they, what college, what university did they go to learn how to speak these languages? But they were speaking. God gave them, the Holy Spirit, you know, gave them that ability. And they were in one mind, they were in one accord, and something great happened that day. As Peter preached the word, the Bible said that 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 souls. 3,000 were added in just that one day. And as you know, and as time went by, and they, you know, they went from house to house, fellowshipping and worshiping and praising God. The Bible continues to say that other souls, many souls, were added. Why? Because they were in agreement. They were in harmony. They were in one mind, one accord. There was no dissension. No one was looking to see who was preaching longer. You know, no one was trying to steal the limelight. You know, in churches, people try to steal the limelight. You know, they want to be the praise and worship leader, or they want to, you know, maybe do what I'm doing. I gladly step down. You know, or they just want to be heard or be seen. You know, they want attention on them. But at this time, none of that was happening. Everyone was flowing together. There was perfect unity and harmony. But, you know, I believe that one of the reasons why we have so much trouble, you know, in churches today, and why people don't come and be a part of us like they should, and it's really no excuse. They use it as an excuse because, you know, they'll say things like, oh, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, I have news for them. The workplace is full of hypocrites. But you don't see them staying home from work and saying, oh, I'm not going to work, this so-and-so is a hypocrite. No, you know, they want that paycheck, don't they? But they use that same excuse and come for not coming to church. It's a lame excuse. But see, this is how Satan works. You know, when we cooperate with him, when we agree with him, and we start, you know, talking about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or how things should be run, you know, this and that, we are giving them the reason to not want to come to church.
That's right.
So, you know, a lot of us need to check ourselves. Amen. Are we cooperating with Satan? Are we contributing to these crazy excuses about the church is full of hypocrites? Hypocrites are everywhere. The only place you won't find them is when we get to heaven. They're everywhere. You go to the grocery store, they're there. You go to a concert, they're there. I mean, you go to the beauty store, they're there. Wherever you go, you'll find hypocrites. But when we contribute with Satan, when we contribute to Satan's plan by gossiping about our brothers and sisters and criticizing them and pulling them down, instead of being in agreement, we are helping to give these people an excuse to not to want to come to church. Right. Maybe a lame excuse, but we're contributing. But in this particular day, these people, they had the singleness of heart. They were in singleness of heart and mind. They were not being double-minded. What did the Bible say about, you know, being double-minded? If you're double-minded, you won't receive anything from God. We have to be single-minded. You know, we have to you know, believe and set our mind and our hearts to flow in unison and harmony with the body of Christ and work to accomplish God's will, God's purposes, and God's plans, because we are his hands and feet here in the earth. We are his mouthpiece. You know, God speaks through us. He works through us. If he wants to bless someone, he'll work through one of us. And if the one that he's talking to doesn't listen, he'll work through someone else. And so we have to yield ourselves. When we yield ourselves, we're cooperating with God. We're helping him. We're working with him. And when we work with God, when we cooperate with him, he blesses us. He opens doors for us. He empowers us. The anointing flows better through us. You know? So that's a single, that's a benefit, beings of single heart and mind. And not double-minded. Lots of people will come, will be saved. God will work through us. You know, we are a mirror. People are looking at us. Whether you realize it or not, someone is looking at you, for good or for bad. Years ago, I you know, before COVID and all that, we were all in church, and I was on that side, and there was a sister on this side, and she was praising God. I mean, she was into it, and she had her hands up in the air, and she was just talking in tongues, and I was just in awe. She was blessing me. Now, the girl was into her own business. She had no idea that someone was watching her. And afterwards, I told her, I said, "You really blessed me today. The way you worshiped and praised, it really did something to me." But see, she was being a mirror, a good mirror. You know, all mirrors are not equal. I hate the mirror in my bathroom. I mean, I'll fix myself up on looking, making sure everything is that I think is perfect. And then I get in the car and I'm like, "Oh my God, what happened?" You know, that mirror is totally different from the one in the bathroom. I know, I'll tell my husband to throw that mirror out. Whatever it is that they do to these car mirrors, boy, it shows you everything. You know, so I'm there, you know, I'll sit in the driveway, you know, and I'm fixing, you know. But we are a mirror. We are a reflection of God. And so we have to be careful what we're portraying, because someone is looking at us. God, and most importantly, God is looking at us. And so we want to be able to make a difference in the lives of people. We want to be able to make a difference in the kingdom. We want to be able to contribute, you know, to the kingdom of God, to the body of Christ, be a blessing. So these believers, when, you know, God worked miracles, miracles, signs, and wonders were worked through the disciples. And the people were in awe. A verse 43 in chapter 2 of Acts, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Now imagine the body of Christ coming together, like the church did back then. Imagine the miracles that we will see. I mean, I've seen a few miracles in my time. And I mean, I was in this service one time. We lived in New Jersey back then. My husband was some drill sergeant. And we had a guest speaker who came to our church, and he had the ministry of healing. And so there was a girl that used to come, and she had a platform shoes kind of built up because, I don't know, I guess one of her legs was shorter than the other. But she went up, you know, at the end of the message, he invited people to come who wanted to be healed. And she went up, and me with my nosy self, I went up. I didn't want any healing, but she was up there, and I wanted to see what miracle was going to take place. So she, you know, he had her to sit down and stretch her legs out and stuff, and he told everyone to close their eyes. He was going to pray. Well, this sister didn't close her eyes. I figured, look, if a miracle is going to take place today, I'm going to see it. So, you know, he started to pray, and I'm telling you, I was gaping. That girl's foot, one foot, grew right out and came in line with the other leg. It was the most amazing. I think I had goosebumps. Do you know what it does to you to see a limb grow out? You know, it's amazing. There is no word, an adequately enough word to describe that feeling. Standing there and watching a leg grow out. You know, we need to see some miracles like that today. Uh-huh. We need to see legs grow out. We need to see hands and feet and you know, and fingers and toes. But we're not seeing them because we're divided.
That's right.
We're not in agreement.
That's right.
I hear all the time about these things happening in Africa and India and all these, you know, foreign lands. Do you know why I believe, just as my personal opinion, I believe it's because they see these miracles because they truly trust God. In America, I think we have too many crutches, too many things to prop, you know. But those people over there in those foreign lands, they don't have all these specialists and, you know, and they don't have it, and they don't have the money, the means to go and check out all these people. They have to believe, they have to trust God. So when they come together, they're in unity. They're in harmony. No one is angry with no one. No one is fussing because they're happy for each other. Uh-huh. When one person get healed, the next one, I'm next. They're expecting. Uh-huh. It builds your faith. When you're in agreement, your faith is propelled up to another level.
That's right.
So, you know, agreement, being in agreement, it helps us to build our faith. We may be you know, we may be a little skeptical, doubtful, you know, maybe not sure if this thing is really true. But when we come together in one and we see sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and you know, getting healed, it propels your faith to another level. It really does. You know, when we come together in unity and harmony, it does that to you. It builds your confidence. You see miracles happen. One of my friends told me, this is back in my hometown. She said she was going someplace. Now the Lord has never done this for me. I wish he did. But he has done some other things too. But she said she was so broke, she didn't have two pennies to rub together. She was poorer than a church mouse. And she had prayed and asked God, you know, to help her to get some money. And so she was walking down the road going somewhere, and there were lots of people around her. And she said, out of the blue, she saw this bill, this $5 bill, just sailing in the air. And all the people who were around her, no one saw it. And it came in front of her, and it just kept, and she said she looked to the left and the right, and she's, and after no one was noticing, she reached out and she grabbed it. I'm like, look to the left or the right. I would have grabbed it. That was a miracle. God met her need. You know, God is not limited. But we tie his hands when we're not in agreement. You know, we're fussing over stupid stuff.
That's right.
So agreement boosts our confidence in God because, you know, she testified about it. And you know, testimonies are good. When you hear other people's testimonies, you know, okay, yeah, this thing really does work. And it encourages you, it gives you encouragement. Like members of a band, each player plays a different part. Uh-huh. Jeff plays the guitar, not Jeff. Hey. Now you can tell, I mean, Bean plays the guitar, and Derek plays the guitar, and Juan plays the drums. Yeah. and Patty plays the keyboard. Every, you know, Debbie plays the flute, yeah. And they harmonize together,
yeah.
And they produce a melodious song.
Yeah.
The same thing with agreement.
Yeah.
When we come in agreement, and we are in total agreement, we can produce results.
Uh-huh.
We can see miracles. We can see the anointing flow. And, you know, just like, you know, at the Tower of Babel, God will be pleased with us. It's like, not like he was with them. He wouldn't be scattering us. He will say, nothing will be restrained from these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they is one. The people is one. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. We all have to speak the same thing. Not this one saying one thing and the other one saying, you know, like that sister, forget what the pastor said. This is what we should pray about. No. We all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. That ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfect.
Uh-huh.
Just like you put your hand inside a glove and it fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I noticed the left glove wouldn't fit properly in the right glove or the right hand. Each of us have our place in the body of Christ. And when we come together in total agreement, we can accomplish great things for God. Matthew 18:19, everyone knows the scripture. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Most of the time we stop there, but there's an extension.
Uh-huh.
It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, this is Jesus, I am there in the midst of them. Now, this is an excerpt that I stole from Rick Renner. He says, if Jesus himself will actually be in the midst of two or three believers who are praying in agreement and in unison with one another to God the Father, then this means Jesus is hearing their prayer loud and clear. And if Jesus is hearing their prayer loud and clear, then those two or three believers will have a very good chance getting their prayer answered by God the Father. Why? Because he is our intercessor. Then the Bible said he's seated in the right hand making intercession for us. From his lips, the God to the Father's ears, we pray, he's there. If he flies back and he tells the Father, they were praying about X, Y, and Z, not that the Father needs to be told, but you know. And he intercedes for us. He speaks on our behalf. Who better do you want to speak on your behalf than Jesus himself, our intercessor? He bore our infirmities. He knows what we feel, what we go through. So we see we have an ironclad promise. It's ironclad. We can take God's promise to the bank. That when we come together in unity, God hears us. Our ability to be in agreement is a powerful, powerful weapon. It's a weapon, a mighty weapon, and as believers, we must recognize and acknowledge this and strive to not only pray in agreement, but stay in agreement. See, that's also a problem, staying in agreement. You know, we all come together and we're in agreement, we agree, we are all in agreement 1,000%. And then we get out there and Satan comes and whispers something negative. You know, we have to stay in agreement. We cannot be double-minded. You know, we cannot, you know, switch, you know, just be flipping sides. We have to stay in agreement. I think it was a Jerry Savelle that says, between amen and there it is,
uh-huh.
We have to stand.
Uh-huh.
You know, we cannot be double-minded. We have to stand. We have to take our stand. You know, we have to develop, put on blinders. Look straight ahead. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, look straight ahead. This is what we agreed upon. No matter what the situation or circumstance that are contradictory comes up, you know, we hold our ground. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Circumstances are not going to, you know, all the time flow in our direction, you know, in a positive light. There's going to be lots of negatives that's going to come. You know, a lot of times your situation just don't look good. You look in your checkbook and you're in the red, you're in the negative. Or a bill comes that you don't have the money to pay, but you're believing God to meet that need. So what are you going to do? Throw your hands up in the air and cry? No. You hold your ground. You come in agreement with the word. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Father, I thank you for meeting this need. The bill may be staring at you. Stare back at it. Talk to it. Tell it this is what God said about you. You'll be paid in full. Every time I get in, well, not every time, but sometimes I get in my RAP4, you know, and I'm praying and I get on praying about, you know, being debt free and all that. And then I speak to my car. I said, you are paid in full. I call you paid. You're 100% paid. And then, you know, I extend it to the body. Our church is paid in full. Yeah. Our church members, their bills are paid. Yeah. No more medical bills, no credit cards, no mortgages, no car payments. Oasis Christian Center is a debt-free ministry. Every bill is paid. The only bill we have is our power bill, our water bill. No one's getting any headaches anywhere trying to figure out whether they should pay this bill or pay half here or, you know, no. The only headache, I told Diane the other day, I said the only headache that I want going forward is to figure out where am I going to sow? How much am I going to give to this ministry? That's a good problem to have. That's the best kind, you know? If a brother or sister in the body have a need, you know, maybe they can't pay their insurance or their rent or whatever, we should have to meet that need. And don't even think about it. I think it was Carla that said a week or so ago that she found the check. You found the check somewhere. Yeah, well, you're not the only one, sister. I was reading a book or doing something, and then it hit me. Then a check come in the mail about 2 weeks ago. You know, I had to search for it. I didn't know where it was. And I found it, and I said, yes. I'm getting there. I got a check and forgot to cash it. Isn't that a nice problem to have? Can we all agree that we'll have that? You know, God wants us to prosper. You know, and he wants us to be able to meet the needs of the body, be a blessing to others. And so we can take his promises, you know, that when we come in agreement, in total agreement, we're not agreeing this minute and then the next minute, I don't know, this don't look too good. No. See, that's what Satan wants. But when we stay in agreement, regardless of what the situation or the circumstances says, God will answer our prayers. We stay in agreement. We speak the same thing no matter what. Stay focused on the same goal. And when we do, God will move mountains on our behalf and our prayers will be answered.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlineGiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.